Hello, hello, ladies of No BS. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So glad you're here. I am Coach Lizzie, and I am getting my all the things set up here. Got my chat. I would love it if some of you would write into the chat and tell me that you can hear me. Like that would be good. And where you're coming from, we got Christy's here, Nancy's here. Hello, my friends. I know both Christy and Nancy, and I'm just so grateful that you're here. Yay! Right on. Sue is here as well. This is fantastic. Y'all ready to have some fun? Let's have some fun. Yeah. Nighttime eating doesn't have to be a disaster. It can be fun, right? Okay. Let's talk about nighttime eating. So Laura is here. We got Jen. Laura's coming from Montana. Lovely, lovely state. This is a coaching call, live coaching call. So please go ahead and raise your hands if you would like to be coached live. Because I only have a teensy little bit of thoughts that I wanted to or that I prepared to talk about, so I would definitely hear what's on your mind, and so we can talk about nighttime eating and how that is impacting you. And it's really interesting how this month in No BS the theme is weekend eating, and how I think nighttime eating and weekend eating are definitely like there's definitely a Venn diagram of nighttime eating and weekend eating, and like how those two kind of, line up in terms of why we do that. So it's interesting. One of the things that can really get in our way with nighttime eating is our nervous system. And you might be like, wait a second, I didn't think this was Coach Kathy's call. I'm like, I get it. Coach Kathy's amazing, and I wish she was on this call because she would probably explain it better. But here's something that I want you to think about is our nervous system is sort of like it's like the bouncer of the club of you. And it's like, here's what gets in, here's what gets out. And all day long, you got stuff going on. You got, nervous system, you got stressors, you got the boss said this, you got your kids need that. And just like, ha. And when you're in that little bit of fight or flight, or even a lot of fight or flight, your brain can't learn. Not only that, your brain is like the logical part of your brain that like knows what to do. If you've ever said, I know what to do, I just can't do it. That's because your logical part of your brain is offline when you have been stressed out all day and you're just like, I'm so tired, I just need something. And when you have that urge, that desire, that like urgent need to be like, where the hell is the food? That's not a problem. It's a signal. Let me say that again. When you have an urge for food, especially when you're not hungry, that's not a problem. It's a signal. So the urge for food is a signal. It is saying to your nervous system is basically being like, hello, hello, we have a need here. And your job is to say, what's the need? But it's really hard to do that when your nervous system is like on fight or flight alert and you're like, all we want to do is feel better fast. So it's really, really useful to proactively practice some nervous system regulating tools throughout the day, and particularly between work and home, or between the bulk of the day and the evening part of the day. No matter what your day is like, there is that kind of like weird transition time. It's either before dinner or after dinner where like you're just, oh, when do I get a moment for me? And I would really, really, really encourage you to consider, A, rest is not an indulgence. It is not a luxury. It is a biological need. And B, when you do these things intentionally, on purpose, proactively, you eat less. So here are some examples. You can put your hand on your heart as you're driving home from work. It is crazy how just, I don't know what it is about me for like driving, I get anxious when I drive. Not because I'm worried about driving, but because I think that my, kind of conscious brain, if you can hear my dogs, they're excited too. Hopefully Zoom is muting that out. But when I'm driving, I think that like my conscious brain is active enough on the driving part that like my subconscious brain is like, ooh, now we can surface all those worries. So I get a little anxious when I'm driving. I will put my hand on my heart when I'm driving, and it is so weird. I feel it in like my back. I'm like, oh, I start to relax a little bit. I feel it in my stomach. Something else you can try is just a little bit of tapping, a little nervous system, emotional freedom technique. Tap on the top of your head, tap on your eyebrow. If you're wearing your sunglasses while you're driving, that's a little harder. I've definitely experienced that. You can tap on your collarbone, your chest. Just a little tapping. Big deep breath. Breathe it out. All these things feel like kind of dumb and like, oh, that's cute. Those mind body techniques, etc. I was in your same boat. I knew about these mind body techniques for a long time before I realized, oh, this is why they matter. The reason why they matter is because when you're in fight or flight, your thinking brain, the part of your brain that knows what to do, you don't have access to it. And so all of your resources are in your lungs, your heart, your muscles. Like, huh, what are we gonna do? I'm stressed out from the day. We're gonna do something. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna eat. If you want a prayer of accessing that, all that knowledge, all the learning you have done, all the many years that you've been no BS learning, 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 and not doing, if you would like to start doing, you gotta regulate your nervous system. Because in order to have access to that thinking part of your brain, your body's got to feel safe. And you do that with your hand on your heart, with some long exhales, with some tapping, all those kinds of things. So fun. I just channeled my inner Kathy Hartman there, right? Hey, Kathy, if you're listening, I love you, sister. All right, let's get going. Who wants to do some coaching? We only got one person's raised their hand right now. So anybody who wants some live coaching, please raise your hand. For right now, we've got Sue. My pal, my friend Sue, I'm so looking forward to seeing you. I've raised you to panelist. My dogs are so excited. Hopefully, Zoom is muting that. I think my husband just got home. Hi, Sue.
Hello, how are you?
I'm so happy to be talking to you. Hello, good evening.
Same here. Okay, this has been a wonderful no BS day. I was on the call earlier with Corinne. Yay!
What a
I've
day.
already leveled up some more today.
Dang, you are just
I
like hitting all the bonus points on the video game.
am. I'm loving today. Okay, so I am working on food substitutions for my evening. Okay, I've switched over. I have inflammation, I have osteoarthritis. When I first started, I was working with dealing with weight loss, and weight loss actually has scooted down because it's the pain I'm working with. You know, let's get rid of let's do, work I'm working with the pain, so and then we'll deal with that as it happens, the weight loss as it happens. So I'm finding out that my inner voice for years has been telling me, dairy, don't do dairy, but you know, I absolutely love dairy. So I've tried over the years to try to do different alternatives, and then I finally, a friend was talking to me, and I switched over yesterday to like coconut milk. To see if I like that. And I did. And I put some RO water with it. And it's like, okay, we can do make protein shakes like this because I want to have foods. The reason I ate the way I ate is I like the foods. I like the taste. I like, you know, the textures. I like all of that. And I guess I want to be able to enjoy my new life similar with taking all the bad stuff out, you know. So today, I had ordered some new protein shakes off Amazon, like this Evolve kind of thing. And then I mixed it with, it was like, I'm not crazy about the taste on that one. But then I mixed it with the coconut milk, and it's like, huh. That tastes like the Fairlife milk that I had to give up, the chocolate milk I had to give up. So I guess this is kind of what I'm thinking. I don't know if there's other people in the membership, you know, that are like trying to do the same thing I'm doing here, if there's any suggestions or whatever. But I'm trying to level up the snacks. It's not so much eliminate them as substitute for wonderful evening snacks. I want a little of this, little of that, but I don't want to overeat. I'm not an overeater, but I am a nibbler, you know?
Same. I would Beg to say that even the nibbling, that therefore translates to you're overeating.
You are true. You are
Well,
correct. Okay, you got me.
what
You got me. That's true.
is it that you're looking for here? Are you looking for suggestions of foods for leveling up, or is it like, how do I get my mind around the level ups when my brain wants the good foods versus better best? Tell me what the real challenge is here.
Well, the initial thought was, hey, you got any idea for substitutions that are, would be good for an evening, healthy, snacking?
Okay.
That would be one, I guess. But then, see, I get on these calls and you guys like just pull magic tricks out of the hat. I don't know how you do this. It's like,
Did
oh, wait a
you
minute,
know that
I
was a
need to think
hiring
about
criteria?
that.
Is that
What's
we need
that?
to be able to do magic? Is this it's literally it's like part of the hiring criteria. Okay. So you're looking for a snack and my coach brain is kind of going towards, is this overeating? But I also want to honor what you're saying in terms of the inflammation and the pain. So it sounds like what you're saying is there are certain kinds of foods that your brain might nostalgically remember. This tastes so good, but your body is like, honey, it ain't working. It's not so fun. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yep, it's exactly what you're hearing.
Okay.
And also, as far as not overeating, I'm not there yet because I'm doing so many small transitions. I just haven't got there yet. It's like years ago when Oprah had Brené Brown on, love Brené Brown.
Right.
I wasn't ready for her. I'm now just listening to her. I'm like, oh, I so get you now, but it's taken all of this time,
Yeah.
you know.
And I really want to honor that. So it may be that you're overeating a little bit with the nibbles, but what I am hearing you say is like, I'm not ready to address that. What I am ready to address is the good, better, best of the snacks so that I can have food that doesn't make my body rebel and, throw a fit.
Your brain is brilliant.
Even at this time of night, that's saying something.
Yes, that's it.
Thank you. Okay. So dairy, your body doesn't like dairy. Is that accurate?
It's accurate.
Okay. Are you looking for just a something, or is this like I can have some protein? Can have sugar? How does sugar, land with your body?
Sugar is very bad for my inflammation.
Okay.
And I've changed over to like allulose,
I'm not sure
So,
I've even heard of that.
oh, okay. Well, what that does is it's starting to hit the market a little bit more, but it doesn't go into the metabolism where it spikes the sugar. So, yeah, check that out. It's like really where all the other alternative sugars on the market gives me headaches, gives me side effects, gives me all this, where the allulose tastes like sugar but doesn't affect my body like sugar.
Okay. So you're looking for a snack. Could involve protein, but doesn't have to. Like, give me a little bit more feedback.
Yeah, you know what? And I'm open because it's like, okay, I'm in food discovery. Like for the longest time, I was just like totally poo-pooing my vegetables. But then when I started baking them or, stovetop sauteing them, I was like, oh, it's 68 years old. I'm like, oh, I guess I like vegetables. I just didn't like them raw, So it's like just all these little discovery. I mean, I could probably sit in the evening with sauteed celery and be happy with that. So
Okay.
I'm because that hits the crunch, and that hits the flavor that I'm looking for, and also the celery. It's just that this is such new information to me. I'm trying to process all this. This is another thing I did. I went and I bought a bunch of these like food cards
Right.
from Amazon. Because it's like, okay, I'm like a 5-year-old. I need pictures. I just can't have all the words like a cookbook.
I
And
know.
these don't have recipes, but they have ideas. And it's like, all right, maybe this is the way I need to go. You know, a little like this is coconut milk and overnight oats. Oh, I never thought of that before. I was always having a bowl of ice cream. So it never dawned on me to do this. So I guess this is kind of where I'm in training in new training in the brain.
Okay.
So,
So, how about this, Sue? I'm going to offer you a couple of really brief ideas, solutions for food, but then we're going to get a little deeper into like what the need behind the desire for food might be. Is that okay? Cool. So, we're going to go in two different directions. First, you mentioned oatmeal. Oatmeal can be a terrific snack, either on its own, or you can mix it with some protein powder. That whole allulose thing, maybe there's some protein powder with allulose. I confess the protein powder I use is not fancy. It's probably got all the bad chemicals. I don't look that deep into it. But there are thousands of protein powders. Even on our website, Corinne's Favorite Things, there is a protein powder that she endorses. That's a great one. So protein powder and oatmeal together is like a sort of yummy, delicious, healthy-ish snack. That's one direction. You also mentioned sauteed vegetables. It's so interesting that you say that because as we're moving into fall, at least in Northern America and the United States, there's the squashes and the different kinds of vegetables out there. You can cube up like spaghetti, not spaghetti squash. The squash, it's like pumpkin squash. I think it's pumpkin squash, some kind of a squash. Butternut. That's the one, butternut squash, and as well as like eggplant and various different things. Put them all, so cube it up, put it in a giant Ziploc, and then put in some olive oil, some salt, pepper, shake it around, toss it in a baking pan, 350. It's been a while, 20-ish minutes. Like, you can put a fork in it to see like whatever desired of softness you want, and then pull it out. Sprinkle it with cinnamon, and it's like a fall treat.
See, now I wouldn't have thought of that.
There you go. Okay, now let's look a little deeper. So, when is the snack happening? Is this after dinner?
Yes, it's after dinner, and I could be watching TV, and when I notice it is when I start chewing up the inside of my mouth.
Okay.
When I start chewing the inside, it's like, oh, I'm looking for something. And so I'm trying to stop that habit. And so then I'm replacing it like with something else. And then I'm not doing that. I don't know. I'm eating myself from the inside out. It's terrible. But you
No,
know,
this
it's
is
like,
actually I love that you mentioned that like you're kind of chewing on the inside of your mouth. That's giving me a hypothesis, but I have a little more investigatory questions first. Have you already had dinner? In other words, are you actually hungry?
No, probably not most of the time.
Okay. I'm going to offer you a hypothesis and I'd love for you to check it and tell me where I'm wrong. Cool? So, when we are babies, we learn the sucking motion with our mouths, with the jaw, whether it's, breastfeeding or in a bottle feeding. That is a very rhythmic, soothing, comforting motion for the human body. And so it's a very primal thing. So when you say you notice this urge, you start to chew on the inside of your cheeks, that tells me it could be a desire for comfort, that like your jaw is like, oh, I want that rhythmic chewing sensation, and that feels comforting to me. Food is the way to do it because that's what you learned when you were minutes old. What are your thoughts?
I feel emotional, which I don't know why I just. But I guess that's, yeah, I'm looking for, I didn't think of that either. But yeah, that soothingness. And then once I start chewing the inside of my mouth, It's like, okay, you need to stop this. Because my sister, if I'm talking to her on the phone, she'll say, you're chewing your inside your mouth again. And it's like, I know, and I've gotten chewing sticks and I've gotten this and that. And then also I'm kind of like watching the wrinkles around my mouth as I'm chewing up my inside, It's like I'll either push my cheek in or something like that. But comfort, yeah.
That is really interesting. And so you have a, and first I just want to like give you a big hug. So that just beautiful that you begin to recognize that. But it looks like your body has this kind of physical tell of like the way, like when I want comfort, I begin to chew the inside of my mouth. Or you mentioned, the lines around your mouth. And so that can, and again, just like I said earlier, it's not a problem, it's a signal. It's a signal that you're looking for comfort. And so it's after dinner, you're possibly like getting, you're kind of in that in between dinner and bedtime phase, and you're just looking to settle down a little bit. And so it's very natural that your body is looking to feel comforted and soothed and settled, just like a baby in the bedtime routine. There's a bath, there's the towel and the swaddling and the PJs and the soft and the cuddles and the, read a bedtime story. Of course we want that. Like, I'd sign up for that. And so it's just your body saying, I want to feel comfort here at the end of the day. So that desire for food, it's not a problem. It's a signal. There are lots of ways. It's almost like almost think of like a tool bench. Of like lots of different tools. There's a hammer, there's a screwdriver, there's a needle nose pliers, there's and I've totally now just exhausted my repertoire of tools. There are other tools, but they have names I can't remember at the moment. So you've got this whole buffet of tools. And so food is one tool that you can use to solve for comfort. But maybe so is a soft blanket. Maybe so is a warm shower. Or, if you have someone at home, you could be like, "Hey, can I get a hug?" And they're like, "Why?" And you're like, "Because I asked for it, damn it." Or, if you have a pet, snuggle with your pet. Hopefully it's not a cat like mine who's like, "Why are you holding me? Get away." But, you get the idea that there are lots of different ways. There are different tools on your tool bench of comfort that you can reach for. Food is one. It's not good or bad. There are other tools as well.
It's funny because I live mostly in a male world. And a lot of my I am alone, but I'm not lonely anymore, because I've learned how to be my I am learning how to be my own best friend here. I am learning how to talk to myself, where I used to just think that was on my crazy side. Now I'm finding out this is on my discovery side, that this is great, And I don't know how many Swifties are out there or what, but I'll tell you what, she has done something amazing for my brain, all the way from young to whatever. And it's like, yeah, you know what? I'm getting to know me in such a new way through all of this. But yeah, so those gentle hugs from other women or my sisters and everybody's long distance, so nobody's in my physical. And I am noticing how that interaction is making a difference. The women in my family aren't really like my mom's not huggy. She's loving, but not huggy, And then like the girls, they can be, I got one I call Hallmark because she's to the extreme. And it's like, oh, it's too much for me. Back off. because she's so embracing and that stuff. And then my other sister, she's like, eh, whatever. so it's like, okay, well, I'm just trying to find my balance in this female group, of women and that stuff. And so, yeah, I think this is me just trying to find my place in my womanhood, in my comfort, to tell you the truth. And among the men, all the men in my life that totally think so amazingly different than I do.
And I think there's something too about really acknowledging and honoring that the need for comfort is a legitimate human need. Hunger is a need. Comfort is a need. Rest is a need. These are not indulgences. These are needs, and it is okay to need comfort. And again, you got lots of different ways to do it. Food is one. One of my favorites is a comfy sweatshirt in my pajamas. And y'all, this is how much I love you that I'm not wearing my comfy sweatshirt right now at 6:25 p.m.
I
Exactly. Like there's lots of different ways to comfort yourself.
will keep searching them out. Thank you very much. And I love, like, Coach Kathy with all of her expertise and love and everything. I mean, everybody, just plain everybody. It's amazing. You
Yeah.
guys have all changed my life so much.
Oh, well, thank
So.
you, Sue. I'm so glad to just be a part of your sphere and that you are a part of the No BS community because there ain't no place better, right? This is pretty special.
Absolutely. I'll be looking too. If anyone's got any suggestions, I'll be kind of looking out in Facebook and seeing if someone has any thoughts too on some of the
Great. Okay. Terrific.
substitutions. So,
Yep. So
thank
yeah,
you.
any evening snack ideas? Sue is on the hunt. But in the meantime, Sue, thank you so much for raising your hand and kicking off the evening with me.
I will work on my comfort. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Wonderful.
Bye.
Thank you. Take care. Oh, so good. All righty. We've got Heidi coming up, and then we'll have Elizabeth coming after that. So we got Heidi, Elizabeth, Caitlin, and Kim. Depending on how much time we got, might go a little over since we got some people raising their hands. This is great. So exciting.
Hello.
Hi, Heidi. Great to see
Hello.
you.
Good to see you too.
What are you
So,
doing tonight?
totally related to your coming home because I just did it. As I've been working crazy hours all summer. I work as an engineer in this company that's trying to release a product, and we've been working, I think in July, I worked 250 hours of overtime beyond
Ooh.
the regular. So a lot. So I've been
Wow. Okay.
I have been coached before by Corinne. I also have private coaching for a while on hunger and recognizing it because I don't recognize it. I do pretty well with stopping at enough, but I don't recognize when I'm hungry. So like today, I came home and I left work early. It was like sunny out here. We're in Minnesota. I left and I was like, oh, it's a nice day. I don't have anything on until later. I'm gonna go home. So I came home and the first thing I did was open a bag of chips. I wasn't even hungry. And I'm like, why am I doing this? And I can totally relate to I'm in an all male environment. It's very, very stressful right now. And I can relate to that whole calming my nerves or whatever, because it's a stress fest all day long. I have meetings
Okay.
back to back from the time I start to the time I end. And I sometimes don't even notice if I haven't eaten lunch until like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So, but I will
Okay.
notice, like I'll go get up to go get water and there'll be like a stupid little candy bowl there and I'll take a little piece. And I'm like, why am I even taking it? And I don't even want it, but I take it just because it's there. So I don't know how to recognize that hunger or for lunch, I purposely stop and make sure that I eat something. Like yesterday, I did a protein shake. Today, we brought lunch in, so I had a Caesar wrap or half of one. And I know when, like, I was full at half, so I put the other half back. I know when to stop, but I don't know when to start. And then until it's too late, and then I'm hungry. You're like, I didn't even think I needed those chips today. But I walked in the door, and that's like the first thing I do is grab something that's junk.
Okay. This is such a great question, Heidi, and I really appreciate you asking it because it doesn't come up as often as stopping at enough. But I have recently had a conversation with a client where we've really explored what does hunger feel like, and it's really been eye-opening for her. So what you're describing with like the candy jar or the chips and so forth feels, or I shouldn't say feel, sounds like perhaps some transition eating, some grab-assing, some mindlessness.
Right.
In those moments, would you say, I genuinely think I'm hungry? Or is it more like, I didn't even realize the eating until like halfway through it?
It's kind of the same. It's a double-edged sword. Like, so there'll be times, like at night, we'll be working, and I have all these young engineers who work for me, and they're like, "Hey, what about dinner?" And I'm like, "Dinner? It's only 7 o'clock. You're hungry?" I don't even think about it. And then once the dinner comes, then I'm like, "Oh my God!" And I'll eat what I'll then feel the hunger as I start to eat, but I don't recognize it like that. Like, I don't. My stomach doesn't growl. I don't feel that need. But when, as soon as I hit enough, I do that, like deep breath thing, so I physically feel that.
Okay, and so just kind of doing some data gathering here, would you say that you eat because you feel like you're supposed to, or because the food is in front of you? Like, how do you decide when to eat?
Typically it's, yeah, like lunch today, it came at noon. I was in the middle of a meeting. My secretary brought it in to me. So I ate it because it was there,
Okay.
not because I was hungry. But I thought, if I don't eat it now, I will not eat it at all. So I better eat it.
Yeah, tell me more. So what would happen? So today, your secretary brought in food. If
Yeah.
you checked in and you were like, "I'm not actually hungry right now, I'm gonna wait," what would have happened?
I would have put it in the fridge and forgotten about it until 3 o'clock in the afternoon or four.
And what happens at 3 or 4?
Then I'd be hungry and probably eat the whole thing. I would then notice that either I start getting lightheaded or start
Okay.
feeling like I need to eat something because I'm not feeling good.
Okay. How willing are you to collect some data for a week or so?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So I love to experiment. And the idea with an experiment is like we're going to create a hypothesis, we're going to collect some data, and we're going to find some shit out and see what
Yep.
happens. And there's no way to screw it up because either way you're learning something. So what I did with this particular client, and Heidi, I would love for you to reach out to me in Facebook. I can kind of create, give you a link to like a little spreadsheet that I helped her with.
Oh, great. Yeah.
But basically, it's like, when I ate today, how did I know I was hungry? My hunger signals were what? So, for example, I had gurgling in my stomach, or I had a headache, or I was distracted. Or I didn't notice any physical signals. It was time. Any answer is okay. It's just, how did I know I was hungry? What were my
Right.
physical sensations? And for this particular client that I worked with, we rated it on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being very mild, 10 being very intense. And the craziest thing, in just 1 week, she learned that what she thought was hunger was actually her body digesting her food. Because a lot of times she would find that she was hungry like an hour after she ate. And she's like, I
Right.
got this feeling in my stomach. It's like this sort of stretchiness and this like uncomfortable feeling. And I was like, okay, that might be hunger. It might be, let's just find out. Let's see. And so you have a one of a kind, unique, never to repeat it again body. So you get to be the expert on your body.
Right.
That's the whole point of this experiment is like when you eat, just ask yourself, how do I know I'm hungry? What are the signals that tell me? And that could be all kinds of things. It could be mental. I'm in the mood for something. FYI, typically, like in the mood for something is generally an emotional hunger, but that's okay. We're still just gathering data. It could be I'm distracted. I feel anxious. I have the gurgling in my stomach. I feel woozy, restless, hard to concentrate, all kinds of different things. And so you get to figure out what are the unique hunger signals for you. And then you just take a week and kind of explore, and we'll collect some data. And then we'll be like, okay, now we have, some data to say, these are probably some hunger signals. These are probably some emotional hunger signals. And maybe sometimes you're just eating because you're transitioning or because it's time. You're not actually physically hungry, but your brain says, I better eat now because I won't get a chance later.
Right.
It's all just useful information.
Great. No, that's a great idea.
Yeah. I think early in what you said, it sounded like sometimes when you come home from work, do you frequently grab something to eat?
Yes. Even though it, and I tried doing the old like eat something before I leave work. And I
Okay.
still walk in that door. And I think it's that whole like, okay, I'm home now. I have left it, but typically I log back on and I'm on until 1 o'clock in the morning. So it's a California company, so they don't observe the central time zone time things. So meetings don't start till 10 a.m., but then they last until 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And if I'm in meetings all day long, or even 11 or 1, I need some time to get the work done that's due the next day. So I do that at night when I get back.
Wow, that's a tough
So
work
kind
schedule.
of crazy. Yes.
And so, Heidi, if I could encourage you to go back to, like, when you watch the or listen to the replay of this, go back to what I said at the very beginning about those nervous system regulating tools. Because I don't know for sure, it might be physical hunger, but it might also be a combination of when you get home from work, there's a little bit of that cortisol stress flush and letdown of like, I've been on all day. Now I'm in my home, my cave, my safe space. I can relax a little bit. And so that on energy is like, okay, I can let it go. And the cortisol is like, whoomph. And your body's like, holy smokes, we just got a big flush of some intense hormones and energy. How do I feel grounded? Food. Food, again, going back to like the tool bench of tools. Food is one tool. It's not good or bad, but there are other ways to help you feel grounded. And nervous system regulating tools can be that, whether it's hand on your heart, some tapping, some breathing can help your body feel settled when you've got a lot going on in your body and your nervous system is just trying to like figure out where you're at.
So, do you have a trick for thinking to do that?
Oh, that's a
You
good question.
know what I mean? Like, I will stop myself when I'm like, today I went and filled up my mug with water from the water machine just before I left work, and the stupid little bucket was there, and it just has like the bite-sized things. So it's very easy to take a couple. And I was like, no, I'm not going to take that. And I walked away. But sometimes I'm not thinking that. I don't even notice I'm taking them and eating them until I'm already doing it. So anything that you can think of to help, I can't put sticky notes on the public water thing. Like, no, Heidi, this is not for you.
Okay, so for my context, we're looking like how to remember to do this at work or when you get
Or
home.
even at home, like when I come in, like, okay, I am really not hungry. Or if I find myself, I'm walking down the hall towards the room for the water, like to remind myself, hey, you're going there for water. You're not going there. It's a snack room that we've set up because we're in the middle of this huge building, and like to help keep the employees there so that they're not like running out for lunch and then not coming back, or if they're working late, they stay. So we have all this free food in the room, and I'm one of my guys does all the ordering and I do all of the management of it. So I kind of manage this room as well. So it's a room I'm in there frequently for because it's part of, one of the benefits that we're providing for the employees. So, and there's some nutritional stuff there, and I try to go for the cheese sticks or the boiled egg or the Greek yogurt. But it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever, and I'm just dashing in there to fill my water, I don't think about those nutritious ones. I go for the sweets.
Does this often couple with getting water?
Yes, because it's my reason for going in there.
So we can workshop this again. Like, there's no right or wrong. We can experiment, see what happens, gather data. I would suggest maybe try putting a piece of tape, a sticky note, a something on your water bottle that tells you basically. Before I stand up to go get water, I'm going to do something calming first.
Oh, good idea.
Before you even start, before you walk down the hallway, you're like, I'm taking the breaths, I'm doing the tapping, I'm handing my hand on my heart. And you kind of regulate yourself first and get settled, and then go get water.
Good idea.
On your drive home, you could put a sticky note on your dash, like between the wheel and the windshield of like regulate or like, hand on heart. I had one client who cut out a heart shape and she put it on her dash. And that was like her sort of symbolic reminder when she was driving home to do some of that nervous system regulating tools on the drive home.
Good idea.
Yeah. So those are some
Great.
things to experiment with for this week.
Great. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're
I appreciate
welcome.
it.
Yeah, and I hope you get weekends. Like, you've got an intense work schedule.
Well, I have a wedding. My daughter's wedding is in November. And even like this last weekend, she flew up here from Dallas and I was like working in between her bridal shower. So it's crazy. I'm hoping that things settle down and we get this thing put to bed so we can I can have a real life again.
I hope so too. Yeah. And I just also want to say hi to, like, if you're ever, thinking like my work situation is a little bit unique, I'm looking for some work-life balance. How do I need some kind of extra help to figure that out.
Yes.
Private coaching is absolutely a great way to kind of talk through some of that. I totally respect if it's not on the budget, but like, I've definitely talked with other clients about like, how do I figure out my life given that my work is what my work is? I want to, figure out how to work with it rather than try and just, blow up my life.
Right.
Cool.
No, perfect. In fact, I was in the private coaching from March until July,
Fantastic.
and then
Okay.
I was and I'm in the in our chat group with Megan, one of your coaching people.
Really? Okay,
Yeah.
cool.
So
Wow. This is
cool. So
exciting.
she speaks very highly and has really enjoyed having you as a coach.
Great. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah. And
Well,
I had Coach Betsy and that was working great. And then
awesome.
July was just hectic. So I took
It
a break
was.
and I'm thinking of
Yeah.
going back to it because it is very, very helpful.
Yeah. And one of the cool things about private coaching after you've done it is you can just come back like for a month tune up.
Right.
So you don't have to have that 3 month commitment again. So very cool. Well, thank you
Well,
so
thank
much,
you.
Katie, and I
Oh,
appreciate you
welcome.
raising your hand.
Thanks.
Thanks. All right. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. We got Elizabeth coming up, and then we'll have Kim after that. I confess, everybody, I have not been keeping up with the chat. It looks like you guys are talking with each other. Oh, we have a Q&A question. All right. Anonymous says, drinking in my nighttime comfort go-to. I intellectually know that it's emotional, but also I deserve it drinking after a hard day of work. I'm unsure how to be okay with my emotions. So I think what you're saying, Anonymous, is that your brain says at the end of the day, you want to have a drink because your brain says, I deserve it. Well, frankly, yes, you deserve something. You deserve rest. You deserve to relax. And so I just offer you to be curious, like, what is it that you deserve? What is it that your brain thinks the drink will do? And full disclosure, my brain just says the exact same thing. Like 5 o'clock, 4:47 comes around. I'm like, come on, when's it going to be 5 o'clock? Because it's a habit and it's like, this is how I relax. But with doing a lot of work around it, I recognize that my brain is looking to relax and it thinks that alcohol is the way to do it. So what is it that your brain thinks that alcohol is doing? And what are other ways to help you do that? So that is some thoughts around that. And it's, you said, I'm unsure how to work with my emotions. Another question is the alcohol helping you mask or numb or not feel some emotions? And if so, like, write me back in the Q&A and then we can kind of address that because I've got a tool for you for how to allow some emotions in a little way that is not quite so scary. Okay, great. So, Elizabeth, hi, how you doing?
Good. Okay, I'll try to be brief because I know we got a lot of people. But
That's cool.
I know this is not new. I'm still struggling with this blanking night eating. Like last night, for instance, I'm just restless and a little anxious, and I just feel like I'm at battle with myself all night. I'm gonna cry. My nights are miserable. I just don't enjoy my evenings. Everyone's like, oh, you can have a nice, relaxing evening. That isn't what's happening. And so it's everything from I sort of stop drinking and I miss that. And there's a part of me that's just like urgy for that. And but that has a very heavy price for me. So I let go of that. So now I'm really wanting the popcorn, sort of really feeling like I deserve that. And I'm having trouble not doing it. I do all these plans and I do all these little things. I think it's habitual, but I also think it's very emotional. So I need some help.
Well, thank you for raising your hand. And also, like, it's clear you've done a lot of work already around alcohol is not serving you. You're recognizing that there's an urge there. And food is sort of replacing what perhaps alcohol was doing. You said that you're, I might not be using the right word. I thought it was antsy, anxious. What was the
word? Anxious, restless. I'm just restless. Kind of at battle with my, that's how it feels. I feel like I'm at battle with myself. Like, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't okay. do that. It's a terrible mindset. I get it. But I'm usually so tired. Uh-huh. I don't have it in me to fight it, you know, or to come up with, I don't know. That's where I think it is mindset.
Okay. I just want to clarify for my context, is the restlessness about the battle? I want food and there's a voice that's saying I shouldn't have food, or is the restlessness something else?
It's definitely about the food, but I also, I don't usually feel that great. And so there is this desire for comfort.
Yeah.
I have a little pain thing going on. And so I'm like wanting to sort of get away from that and have yeah. some comfort.
Yeah.
That would be the other piece of it for me.
Okay. Well, I really want to pause and acknowledge physical pain. Physical pain is a whole nother factor because it is like a moment by moment, minute by minute, little bit like seeping drain on your energy, on your willpower. It's draining you. So when you have physical pain, chronic pain, things like that, headache, what have you, that is like an extra layer of fatigue that you're going to show up with at the end of the day of like, I'm that much more tired because I've spent all day kind of just handling this pain. So it's not dumb. It's not like just silly or something to get over. It's a legit challenge. So of course you're seeking comfort. Food, like as I've been saying all night, like food is one way to get comfort. In your mind, though, if we were to say, what else feels comforting? What else might either feel comforting for that physical pain or potentially alleviate some of that physical pain? Anything come to mind?
Well, I do think the regulatory thing, sorry, I'm a little nervous. The regulation sure. tools,
yeah.
you know, I do know how to tap. That might mm-hmm. be good because I just sitting and relaxing isn't that helpful.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't feel that good. It just makes me a little more anxious. So having something to do, you know, like tapping or praying, going for a walk.
Yeah.
You know, something.
Those Tell me more about that. Is there like a mental story of like, I should be doing, getting something done, I should be productive? Or is it more just like your body feels like this?
I feel a little, you know, anxious and a little nervous.
Restless, like physical restless energy.
Yeah. It's more that than I need to do something. It's more okay. just like a little restless. Yeah.
Got it. And that's super helpful to know. So anybody who's listening, I was asking Elizabeth that because a lot of us struggle to rest because we have a mental story saying I should be fill in the blank, doing the dishes, doing the laundry, doing the thousands of things that our brains say we should do. And so that can make it hard. That can contribute to restlessness. Elizabeth, for you, it doesn't sound like that's the challenge. It's more of a physical sensation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So therefore, perhaps the, I don't want to say solution. I'm going to say like methods that could possibly work that we can experiment with could also be physical. So you mentioned going for a walk. That could work. Obviously, nighttime is going to start to get dark. You could stretch. One thing that has been very, very helpful for me is using a massage gun and using the massage gun on my muscles at night because my brain can be super amped up, but I don't even recognize I've got a lot of energy in my body. This is particularly important for me like after like a camp where I'm just so amped up all day and my brain cannot turn off. I need to meet my body where it's at, and the massage gun can be really helpful to just like signal to my body, hey, honey, it's okay to settle down. Like we can just chill a little bit. So you could try that.
Yeah, I love that.
Have you ever tried like a foam roller?
You know, I have one, but I haven't really thought, I never thought to use that for, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
I like this.
Yeah, it's interesting because like the way you're describing it is the sensations sound quite physical rather than mental. And so you want to meet the physical sensations with a physical solution. So that's some gentle movement, some rhythmic stuff, like maybe sit in a rocking chair or a glider rocker or something, just like some, just allow your body to get the signal that, like, hey, it's safe. We're okay.
Yeah.
May I share an analogy with you?
Please.
So I have a rescue dog, and her name is Mrs. O'Leary, which is a fun story. It's a character in a book. And she's super, super sweet, but fireworks freaks out, as most dogs do. But so when the fireworks are going on, she is, shivering in the corner. And I can tell her, honey, you're safe. It's out there. It's not, it's not gonna hurt you. And that message is not coming through because she's a dog. Her physical instincts are very similar to our body's instincts. Our bodies are so smart and so instinctual, but not super rational, just like my sweet dog, Mrs. O'Leary. So when she is afraid of fireworks, I will sit down on the floor. I'll talk to her quietly. I'll pet her and just kind of hug her and be present with her and just wait for her to settle down. I will signal safety to her physically because talking to her ain't gonna cut it. And that's kind of what's happening with your body. When your body is amped up, you can't really think your way out of that because the energy is in your body. So you want to signal to your body, hey, it's okay. We're safe. So that's kind of what the hand on the heart does, rocking chair, foam roller, massage gun, that type of stuff.
I think that's right on. Thank you. I just could not find anything like what was not working. And I think that's it. I
Yeah.
haven't felt safe in my body actually, really, at night.
And yeah, that's legit. Like there's probably really solid reasons. And, again, if we could have a longer conversation, we could perhaps like unearth here's why. But for this purpose of the conversation, it's not necessarily important for us to figure out why. The point is you have this physical anxiousness, restlessness. You could fix it with fix it is not the right word. You could address it with food, but you could also meet that need with other physical tools.
Thank you so much. That is really
Yeah.
helpful.
You're so
So
welcome.
glad.
Y'all, this is what I love about like weight loss coaching and private coaching is that like every person is unique and there's no one fit, solution that fits all. So like Elizabeth, really thank you for raising your hand and giving me the opportunity to chat.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Great. And if you try a massage gun, let me know how it goes.
I will.
Yeah. Oh, mine's right over there. I'm gonna use it later on tonight. Because you better believe I'm amped up after this nighttime call. Whew. All right. Thank you, Elizabeth. Okay, we got one more caller. We got Kim. Promote to panelist. We will rock and roll. I see Sue mentioned, oh, Sue, that's so sweet that you bought a ton of my books for Christmas. Guess what, y'all? My next one, it's on the way. I'm thinking December, January. It's also about weight loss, so stay tuned for that. Yes. Exciting. I know. Hi, Kim.
Andy, how are you?
I'm well. I'm so excited to talk to you. Great to see you.
Good to see you too. I haven't been on in a while. I've been doing really great. I have to say, it was 18 months ago I joined. The last 2.5 months, everything is clicking. Weight is coming off, it's becoming natural, more habits, not having to think so hard about everything. And all of a sudden, I am back to waking up during the night and not being able to go to sleep until I go get a snack.
Okay.
Okay. And that was a habit that I had before
Okay.
and been able to break it. Been quite a few months since that's happened. Trying to figure out some techniques to overcome that again, because the old ones aren't working.
Okay.
The soothing, even turn the TV on, put the news on so I fall asleep, boring show or whatever.
Please don't turn on the news in the middle of the
Well, you know what? I don't really watch news ever,
night. Okay.
so it puts me to sleep. It's the
Okay.
same thing over. So, but whatever, a boring show, a show that doesn't really keep
Right.
my attention too much. None of these things are happening. And I know it's stress. My son is getting married in a few weeks. there's a lot of things going on that are out of my control because it's my son, not my daughter. So I'm not involved as much, right?
Okay.
But I, this is like, and it's making me even more anxious.
Okay. Well, you answered the question that I was going to ask is like, did something change? And so it sounds like the change is the anxiety related to the wedding has amped up. Is that it? Or is there anything else?
I mean, that's all I can, I mean, I've got a class reunion this Saturday. It's just like so much activity.
Okay.
And I'm a control freak and I have control of none of it. But I'm trying, you know, I've done so well with releasing that and going, great, I'm just going to go. If I'm not having a good time, hey, I have a 2.5 hour drive. I'm leaving now.
Okay.
You know, so I've got those thought processes.
Right.
So, and then the next day I have a bridal luncheon and then, you know, so no, it's, I think it's pretty much all just really wrapped up around the wedding.
Okay, great. So just for context, is this about there are things that are outside of my control and I'm making that mean various things? Or is it simply a matter of like, I'm an introvert and there are 18 different functions to go to and I'm freaking tired?
No, I'm not. The introvert is not. It's the, I don't know what's going on. Like, it's hard. Like, you know, I'm usually the one that does all the planning, does all the things, and I'm not. So I don't know how to just, I guess, sit back and enjoy the event.
What's hard about sitting back and enjoying the event?
I don't know. What's hard? I don't know. That's, I think, part of the anxiety of not being involved, not knowing if everything's done, not knowing, you
Okay.
know.
Is it that you're not sure everything's done, or is it that you don't know what to expect?
Ooh. I don't know. I think maybe that's it. I don't know what to expect.
Okay. Because let's say something doesn't get done.
Okay.
Then what?
Not my problem.
Okay. But if something, you know, shows up and you didn't know to expect it, what's your brain saying?
Fight or flight.
Bingo.
It's, you know, that's where it's going.
Okay. So it's not so much about control. It's about knowing what to expect. And that is a very, very normal human response. Like, I just want to be able to know what I'm dealing with here. And then I can figure out how I want to play it, how I want to handle it. Whereas if you're like, I'm walking into a complete unknown, human brains do not like unknowns. Not at all.
Right.
Like my husband used to be in the military and I would tell him, honey, good news is good, bad news is bad, but not knowing is the worst. And so that's
yes.
What it is. It's the not knowing.
Okay. So how do I get my brain to stop thinking about that or pacify it?
Sure. Great question. So there's a couple different strategies we can go with. Let's workshop this together because I don't know exactly what's going on. So one option could be just brain dump. Here are all the things I'm worried about. Blech. And then you could be like, and what is the unknown with this? What is my brain trying to figure out because I don't know piece of information? You could do that.
Right.
Or maybe you already have an idea of like, it's really these two or three things that are bothering me. And I don't know X, Y, Z. And then maybe you can narrow it down. And then once you kind of get your hands around, like, what is it that's unknown? Then you can decide, is this something I could find out the answer to? Or is this something that truly is not mine to own? And I just need to let it go.
Okay. That's a good idea to sit down and write down, because as you're talking, of course, my brain is going, ah. And, you know, a couple of things are coming to mind is that there is an indefinite schedule for the wedding day.
Oh, fun.
I
Wow.
know.
Way to be spontaneous, everyone.
And if there is, nobody's telling me. And I don't think it's because there's, oh, we just don't want her to show up or whatever. But I really don't think they know what the schedule is for the day yet. And it's 2 weeks from Saturday. So, yeah.
Okay, Kim, I'm just
I'm
going to
not.
go ahead and say it. Like, you're totally right. They're wrong. Just taking off my coach hat for a second. Like, what the hell? They don't have a schedule for this, their wedding in 2 weeks? All right, coach
Yeah.
hat back on. Sorry.
It's like, what time am I supposed to be there? Well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. I'm like, okay, but I am not the mother of the bride.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be there while you guys are getting your hair done and your makeup on. That's not my place.
Right.
So what time do you, well, we're going to get dressed at noon. Okay. Well, what time do you want me there? You know, kind of thing. Oh, whenever you want to come. Okay. When are we doing pictures? Oh, well, they're going to start and then we're going to, and I'm like, ugh. So this is, I think, where the anxiety is coming
sure.
from. I guess maybe I'll just have to get dressed at 8 o'clock in the morning. And when somebody calls and says, come over, you know,
yeah. Okay.
Kind of.
So if I were to offer you a prescription, which you are always in charge, so you can massage this to what works for you, is I would do a little bit of brain dump journaling of like, what are the things that are stressing me out? This, this, and
Yeah.
this, you know, bullet it out or number it out. And then ask yourself, what is the unknown about this thing? So kind of get a little bit more clarity around like, the piece of information that I don't know that's actually bothering me is this. Then step three is like, could I find this out? And if you get the answer that you've been getting of like, well, whenever, then that's your cue to say, okay, my response is, how about I show up at 1 p.m.? Is that okay? And they can say yes or no or whatever. And then at least you have a plan. I'm going to show up
Right.
at 1 p.m. It might be 3 hours until anything starts, but I know what I'm doing. So you have given yourself some clarity.
That's a very good idea. That's a very good idea. I can also just say, tell my daughter to text me. I'll just be ready. When something happens, let me know. I'm 10 minutes away.
I mean, getting ready at 8 a.m. and just being ready and waiting for a call is an option, but that is still reactive.
Yeah.
And getting the sense that that's part of what's giving you anxiety is that you're waiting for, you know, the green light. And if they're continuing to give you the like, well, whatever, you say, okay, here's what I think I will do. Is that okay with you? And so like, you're now being a little bit more proactive and saying, here's my plan. Do you object?
Yeah.
So you have just, you're just like kind of reclaiming just a little bit of control.
Yeah. And and it's so funny because I keep saying, I don't want control. I just want to know.
Yeah.
Because I've really worked on that. And I just want to know what I'm doing.
Exactly. You don't want control. You want certainty.
That's it. Yeah.
And just like comfort, just like rest, just like hunger, certainty is a basic human need. So you're not weak or a control freak or anything unpleasant for wanting to have some certainty. You're a human being with a human brain. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think I do need to, I'm not very good at journaling, but I think I do need to get out that journal and do that.
Well, I'll also offer you that, like, I'm not awesome at journaling either. Ask coaches can be a great way to say, like, I coached with Lizzie tonight. Here's what we talked about. I just want to brain dump. Here are the things I'm worried about. Dear coach who's reading this, what do you think? And we'll take it from there.
Yeah. Sounds good. I
Great.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
You're welcome. Can I offer you one last little tip?
Of course.
For the nighttime eating, for my sort of rule of thumb for myself is, you know, and you just, again, you're in control of you. You decide what works for you. But for me,
right.
My nighttime eating, you know, first response is hunger is not an emergency. I can wait till the morning. If I decide I am not falling back asleep until I have something to eat, then I have one option and it is boring. It's a hard-boiled egg. Because I hard-boil a bunch of eggs, and like I have them in the fridge. So they're like always
Okay.
there for salads and stuff. But if I'm going to eat in the night, it's not going to be cookies or crackers or anything fun. It's going to be a hard-boiled egg because it's protein, it's not sugary, it's not exciting. It's like, let's go back to sleep. So if you want to
I think
consider
I'll choose celery.
that. Okay, celery. Sure.
Eggs
You do you. Yeah.
would make me sick, so that's,
Okay.
but that is a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just choose
Boring.
something that will curb the hunger, but it's not like exciting that you're like, well, I could have this or that.
Okay.
Cool.
Sounds good. I
Great.
appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Well, Kim, congratulations
Thank
on your
you.
son getting married.
Thank you. I'm excited. It's going to
Great.
be a fun time.
Yeah. And share pictures with us in the Facebook group.
I certainly will. I'm
Amazing.
looking forward to that too, getting over that phobia.
Yeah. Yep. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kim.
Right. Thanks, Lizzie.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. We got a couple more Q&A questions and then we will wrap us up. So, Anonymous, who asked me earlier about drinking, she says, yes, I'm absolutely numbing out and avoiding my emotions. They're too much. Drinking at night numbs me out. Okay. First of all, Anonymous, you and I are soul sisters. I spent a lot of years of my husband's military career using alcohol to numb out my loneliness, my missing him, my overwhelm. I'd fall asleep in front of the TV, and then I'd wake up at 2 in the morning and be like, all the shame, all the drama, all the I am a terrible mother. What am I doing to my children? Thanks. So I've been there. You are not broken. You are not alone. It's okay. And what I would encourage you to try is a simple but effective tool. Can you hear my cat? My cat is going nuts. Anyway, hopefully you can hear her. All the pets this evening. So here's the simple but effective tool you can try. Step one is when you want to go to a drink. Number one, you're not bad. You're not wrong. Just say, this is an urge. And I'm going to just pause it for a second and stop and say, what am I feeling? And usually you want to just answer that with a one-word answer. So it's I'm feeling sad, anxious, lonely, depressed, excited, whatever. It's usually the feeling is a one-word answer. And then step number two, which is the really important part, is I am allowed to feel that way. Anxiousness is allowed to be here. I don't even have to know why I'm anxious. I don't have to fix it. And it is crazy how much we're like, wow, I don't have to fix this feeling of anxiousness because that's what we've been doing our whole lives. We've been told we're too much. We've been told, I'll give you something to cry about. We've been told, you're too emotional, all that thing. And so we have done so much to try and fix and change our emotions. And so if you just spend 10 seconds in, I don't have to fix feeling sad. I don't have to fix feeling anxious. It's like revolutionary. It's so simple, but we don't practice it because nobody ever taught us this. So that's all it is. What am I feeling? I'm allowed to feel that way. I don't have to fix it. I don't even have to know why I'm feeling it, but it's allowed to be here. I don't have to fix it. Big deep breath. You can leave it there and then go have your drink. You could try some more breathing and just allowing yourself to sit with that for a little bit. I would take it little by little, like certainly in my experience, like with alcohol, it's not a like, I am done. Like, give yourself some grace. And if there's any additional piece of advice I could give you is offer yourself self-compassion. I don't know what's going on in your brain, but I know for myself, and I might just cry right now because it's coming up for me, but like I had so much shame and so much judgment and so much just vitriol towards myself. And when I finally said, this isn't working, the whole beating myself up is not changing anything, maybe I could love myself instead, it changed everything. And so please, please, please offer yourself some compassion. You are doing your best. You're doing the best you can with the tools you have. Alcohol is one tool. There are others, and we will help you love yourself through it. So write to me and ask coaches, write to me on Facebook. I'm with you. We got you. You're in the right place. Okay. One more question from Jackie as I wipe my eyes. There we go. All right. Jackie says, Lizzie, can I ask you on Ask Coaches for techniques you mentioned on dealing with numbing emotions, masking emotions, and working on nighttime eating? Absolutely. So anybody, you're always welcome to reach out to me and Ask Coaches. And Jackie, I just talked about that in terms of the how to address emotions. What am I feeling? I'm allowed to feel that way. I don't have to fix it. And then just allow that for a minute. Sometimes, you know, a little bit of extra nuance on top of that is sometimes it can feel too much. Like sometimes you might know that by 5, 6, 10 o'clock, the emotions are too big and it's like, I can't handle them. Okay, no problem. We're going to start a little easier. Start at 9 in the morning. Get out the feelings wheel. I can send you a link to that and Ask Coaches and be like, okay, with my coffee in the morning, I'm going to sit down and ask myself, what am I feeling? I'm feeling bored. I'm feeling introspective, whatever it is. Like, it does not really matter. It's more the practice of asking, what am I feeling? And then be like, I'm allowed to feel that way. I don't have to fix it. I can feel bored. I don't have to fix it. I can feel anxious. I can feel excited. I can feel curious. You know, try it at a time of day that's not intense, that's not scary, and get, you know, begin to get the practice of that. And that will help you have that tool so that when it does feel intense, when you do want to numb out that emotion, you have that like little memory of safety of like, I did try that earlier today and it worked out okay. Maybe I could try it for 10 seconds tonight before I go to my, you know, numbing tool of choice, whether it's the food or the alcohol or what have you. And so you're practicing that skill and you're just showing your nervous system, I can feel a feeling and not die. Because that is legitimately what your nervous system is afraid of. Like, if we let this in, what's going to happen? And it sounds silly to our intellectual brains, but we're not talking to the intellectual brain. We're talking to our survival brain that is trying to keep you safe. And these feelings feel unsafe. And so that's why you're proving to yourself little by little, I can feel a feeling and not die. And you are strong enough to handle it. Okay, team. Thank you for sticking with me for 12 extra minutes and for handling all of my pet shenanigans with the dogs and the cats. And hopefully you didn't hear any of it. But hey, we're rolling with it. It's a happy chaos here at the Merritt household. We have 2 kids, 2 dogs, 2 cats, 1 husband, because he's the best. And you are the best. No BS is such a great community. I love every one of you. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here and just share who I am with you, and because you share who you are with me. Mwah, 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 mwah. All right, bye. Have a good night. Take care.